Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And we are live, so happy Memorial Day. Sorry about the frog in the throat. I've kind of been yelling, going back and forth with progressives and so forth. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and you are listening to the only show that asserts the constitutional solution in getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution once again. There is no other show that is providing you this leading thought of Madisonian constitutionalism, and also Jefferson. I don't mean to leave him out, but Madison and Jefferson knew exactly what was required to deal with federal encroachments upon the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so this is the only show that is asserting this. I don't want people to be angry with the fact that I am not in support of the Convention of States, because there's some reasons why. It's the same thing, like, I don't want the John Birchers to be angry, but we can no longer stay the line and be, you know, be a part of the status quo. We are sliding into socialism. And I do appreciate the fact that Trump is being the stopgap. But the other factor that always comes in, it's like the Reagan effect and the Bush effect and the Trump effect. People think, oh, well, all is well because our guy is in there. Are you nuts? There is so much unconstitutional government, and the deep state is so far entrenched in the government. There is little time. If Trump gets out of office, they are going to move forward, and there will be a collapse. We are going to face a calamity that will require that the federal government set aside the Constitution. I can't tell you what it's going to be, because there's different ways that they can go down this path. I remember listening on a financial network where they talked about 9 financial factors, just 9. And that is very specific to the financial world. This has nothing to do with the geopolitical world, war, you know, going into war, being attacked, or what have you, or, you know, these false flags, false attacks, and so forth. So anyway, let me keep going. I will tell you that the number to call in, if you want to call in, because I am here, this is Memorial Day, and you are listening to a live show, not a rebroadcast or a pre-recorded show. And so you're more than welcome to call in. And the focus here on this show is the Constitution. I can go into some nuts and bolts with you if you want, or we can stay at a 50,000-foot level on the auditing and Republic Review. But the number to call in would be 215-867-8255. That would be 215-TOP-TALK. And so this show is dedicated for those who are listening for the first time, because we are growing. And so this show is dedicated to supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to the Constitution and protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. In addition, this show is also dedicated to the state and county grassroots leaders, which is basically the GOP in these dark red states. Those GOP Central Committee chairs, as well as other types of grassroots leaders that are out there. We need them to help us educate their state legislators and get good constitutional legislators in place. They're the employers of those who are being elected. They get the say who gets to wear their label and our brand and who doesn't. So what this means is, when we get these leaders to supporting this, and we get state legislators to campaign and pledge to supporting the auditing of the Constitution, standing up against federal tyranny, that means that they're protecting all of us, because they're stepping up in front of Goliath to protect all of us. And so that's why we all need to be supporting these that we're focusing on. If you've got a good candidate, if you've got a good state legislator, and he's very constitutional, he wants to get on board, I'm happy to support all of them. They just need to sign the pledge. And I've gone through the 6 actionable items. If you want to know what those actionable items are, go to the petition scripts on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that's how you can find them. And that where you can find those six actionable items that they need to commit to doing. The podcasts are available on Reclaiming the Republic. And the three reasons why you would want to download these podcasts is this is the only constitutional show that has a solution that is well within the Constitution to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. The second reason is that the content on this show actually interlaces with other content, and I build off of these shows, so you really need to listen all the time to understand what I'm saying. I do not want to do this for 20 years, folks. I want to retire within the next couple of years. We only have a few years. So the day I go off the air is the day I'm filling sandbags and getting my auto loader and storing up on all sorts of food and so forth, because it's either we do this or we have to hunker down just to survive, because it is going to be that ugly. Third, because the preppers will tell you how bad it can get. And there's lots of people that will tell you that if we actually collapse, we go into chaos. There are a lot of people out there that are not preppers, that are, you know, grasshoppers in the Aesop's fable of the grasshopper and the ant. But anyway, the third reason, the show does not have ephemeral or temporary information. As I put things into context, these things will withstand the test of time. So there's three great reasons why you should download the podcast. And again, they are on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Feel free to call in. And if you know me, I just ask for those three C's. I ask you to be confidential. I ask you to be civil. And I ask you to be concise. I also want to point out that I do have my presentation that is out on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The first 30 minutes of this video, I believe, will change your paradigm, or at least broaden your paradigm regarding the Constitution. And you will look at it differently than what you've ever been taught, because the Constitution is a contract, and it is time we start honoring and holding to that contract and getting the federal government back within the framework of that contract. So if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, just go to the Take Action page, and that link is on the right-hand side towards the top, Take Action, and the video is right underneath the PDFs. I have the slides that the slides I use in that show are available, or in that presentation. So by all means, download the slides, watch the video. I believe do it for Memorial Day. You're having a party tonight. Play that video for everybody, because I believe everybody needs to understand what it takes and why we're in this mess and what we have to do to fix it. And so anyway, let me just move on. As always, I did scan the news, and as always, I could not find any sign that the federal government was going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Those powers that belong to the states and the people. And so what we have to do is we have to actually step in. We're going to have to fix this problem, because they are incapable of this. It is just the antithesis of an organization to actually want to downscale and go back within the confines that they're supposed to live within. As long as they've been able to get away with things, then they want to continue growing and getting away with more and more. And they will fight to the death to keep from having to retract back into the framework of the Constitution. But that's okay. Because as soon as they realize that, okay, we mean business, and they say, well, we're going to, it's all hyperbole, folks, because bottom line, these politicians are creatures. They are creatures of survival, and they will do anything. They're like chameleons, and they will do anything necessary, and which means that the one thing they're going to have to do is they're going to have to learn what they're supposed to be doing, and then they're actually going to have to do it, because whether they like it or not, that's what the states are going to demand. And so I do have a standing question for anybody that wants to call in. If you happen to be a constitutional whiz, by all means call. If you can point to me what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land reservations for environmental purposes, for creatures, for culture, for races, what have you, you show me where the federal government can create refugee camps and any type of land use that is not a part of the Washington, D.C. Because remember, they have exclusive legislation over that 10 nautical mile square of Washington, D.C. So they can put, you know, anything and everything within that 10 nautical miles because that is theirs. But with everything within the states, that is not theirs. They do not have the authority, unless you can find it for me, and then we can just move on, because I have other constitutional questions that I would love to ask, and I would love to help illuminate the audience on why we have these problems. Do not forget, as I'm running out of time for this first segment, the Red Pill Expo is in the Spokane area, where I live in the readout area, and Spokane is a part of that. And so if you want to actually rub elbows with the real red state people, then the Red Pill Expo is the place to be. It is the 21st to the 23rd of June. Go to redpillexpo.org. Look at the speakers. Look at the venue, the opportunities you will have. I think you'll find this one of your best investments and best opportunities for the summer to really get into the leading edge of some of these conservative speakers' thoughts and so forth. So let me get into some news. Actually, I've got less than 30 seconds, so I'll cover this first one, and then I'll go into some debate I had. In Fresno, they were going to have a high school baseball or softball game, and the announcer announced that there would not be an anthem sung. In other words, they're poking the citizens of this republic in the eye, saying, we're not going to allow you to be patriots. And so what did they do? They booed, and then they sang the national anthem. And this is in California. This is starting to spread. This should be alarming to everybody. Well, that music is a little alarming to me, because that means I'm up at a hard break, which means that I will be back after a few advertisements. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back, folks. Thank you very much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process,
process. This is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
So just as I was finishing up, I found it a little ironic that California is trying to curb patriotism. And it's obvious that there's parents and there are people in California that are recognizing what is going on. And I guess when you have a venue or an event where people are actually paying, unless you've got some flaming liberal communists from Hollywood and what have you, you're going to be insulting Americans when you basically start pulling the plug on the national anthem. As a matter of fact, the national anthem, you go look at the history of that with the NFL and other sports, it became a point of patriotism. And so you just can't start rooting that out. It's almost like all of a sudden schools start burning books. That becomes a huge flag to anybody, because what they're doing, especially if they're conservative-minded books, you know, the Bible and that type of stuff, because that would be a huge flag, and that would really get people going and going, what the heck is going on? Because that's exactly what has been going on in the progressive petri dish called the school system. And if you've listened to my rants regarding these school shootings and what's going on to our society, and actually I'm going to give you some insights on a debate I had with a progressive, but the whole point is, folks, that our biggest problem is our school system. That's because the federal government's got their fingers in it, and they have no constitutional authority in doing so. If you want to understand what Republic Review is, at the high level, the term Republic Review comes to the concept of judicial review, which is unconstitutional because the federal government is held to the standards of jurisdiction within the Constitution. I mean, bottom line, the federal government has no jurisdiction if it ain't in the Constitution. What that means is they have no jurisdiction over marriage. They have no jurisdiction over religion of any kind. They have no jurisdiction over education, over health care. If it ain't in the Constitution and it's not a part of a ratified treaty, that is all they have jurisdiction over. And when I say ratified treaty, by two-thirds of the Senate, a legitimately constitutional treaty. And so, as we understand, there's been lots of treaties that have been signed that have not been fully ratified. They've just been kind of, yeah, go ahead. We don't see a problem with that. Like the treaties with the Indians. A lot of those were not fully I don't believe you'll find many, if any, of the treaties that were done with the cavalry or generals or whomever, whether that be Custer or who, that was out there authorized to give these treaties. That doesn't mean that they were constitutional and that they were ratified. If it is not a treaty that has been ratified by two-thirds of the House of the Senate, then it is not a constitutional treaty. And what they've been doing has been basically hoodwinking everybody, going, yeah, it's okay. We're going to allow this to happen. No, we live and die by that Constitution. That's why people raise their arm to the square and they take an oath. And that's why it is a required oath for everybody that is elected or wears a uniform in the military, as well as first responders and so forth. There is a reason why people who enter public service have to take that oath, because the Constitution is the foundation of our rule of law. And if it is not within the Constitution, then it is not within our rule of law. It is tyranny when they start asserting environmental requirements of shutting down, you know, building or what have you. That is tyranny, because it is not within the Constitution. I had a debate this weekend, and I've actually posted a few times, and this debate was in social media, but This debate was with a progressive who claims to be a Republican. And they'll swear up and down, I am a Republican. However, I want to get you to understand that this person is not just a proponent for the log cabin Republicans. This person is a leader. And what I mean by a local leader that is, you know, outreaching the log cabin Republicans. And if you don't understand what, or have never heard of the log cabin Republicans, it is a large body of supposedly conservative Republican homosexuals. It is a sub-faction of the Republican Party. And the whole debate started over my concept over sub-fractions. What is a sub-fraction? And bottom line is, what is a fraction? Because if you understand the whole point of parties, a party is a fraction. And if you read Washington's farewell address, he talks about the danger and evils within fractions. He says the people need to find what those things are that we have to unite for and unite instead of dividing and saying, well, we want this. We want you to be able to support these things instead of, you know, just that. And so the whole point of fractions is that they become an entity within an entity, within a whole. And so we have two major fractions, which is the Democratic Party, the Progressives, Conservatives, the Republican Party. Now, there are other conservatives, the Libertarians, the Constitutional Parties, but the two big tents, if you want to call them tents, because I don't necessarily call them tents as long as you have sub-fractions, and the Democratic Party is just a whole bunch of sub-fractions, a big cluster of tents. But the point is that with the Republican Party, if you've ever heard Teddy Roosevelt's assertion of the hyphenated American, then if you haven't, you need to read that, because his assertion is, if you're a hyphenated American, if you say African American, if you say Irish American, Italian American, that means that you're putting something in front of America, which basically means you could just replace whatever that lead is in front of the hyphen and just say anti-American, because what you're saying is Irish comes first. Italian comes first over American. And so he had a very insightful article, it was basically just an article that he published. And it was during, I want to say it was either at the end of the Wilson or the beginning of the Harding administration. I think I want to say it was like 1919, 1918. Nevertheless, he was pointing out that you are basically putting something over the common national interest of America. Now, if you're a nationalist, if you're a big government kind of person, that's a good thing. I still do not like hyphenated Americans just because you are putting something first instead of trying to find those core values that the framers had and what it means to be an American, not necessarily a... See, the danger, and I don't mean to be seem to be schizophrenic on this, but I want to be very clear. I believe that we are a republic, and I am a citizen of the state I reside in, and I also have a citizenship within the republic, which is called the United States of America, which basically gives me the label of being called an American. But while I was in the state of California, I was a Californian. And when you're in another state, you're that as well. And we have this ability to be able to migrate, because that reciprocity allows citizenship to allow you to flow from one state to the other. Now, when you start looking at the centralizing of power and the nationalizing of power, I am not an advocate, so I speak highly against those types of concepts of American. I think that we have to keep the little R Republican in front of us as a focus, so that we go, okay, so we believe that there is a very limited amount of power that was delegated to the federal government, that all the states retain all the rest of the power. And we've advanced so far as a society that the states, as we take these powers back, are going to have to make some inroads in figuring out how to work together with healthcare, how to work together with education, because the federal government has been feloniously creating this centralized government of all things when that was never the case. Again, little r Republican. So anyway, going back to this debate, I started pointing out, because this person was known as the log cabin Republican leader in this county. And so I actually started pointing out that the nature of sub-factions are divisive. They have their little pet agendas, whether it's be the woman Republicans, some minority demographics, or whatever the issue is. Even the log cabin Republicans have an agenda to drive change within the Republican Party. The Republican Party should be consistent and non-changing. It should be inclusive of all things on the premise of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And so it should be a big tent instead of a cluster of small or large tents and small tents and so forth. I'm up at hard break, so I'm going to get back into this, because I'm going to get into some of the details regarding this debate, and then we'll get into the New York ratification debates right after that. So I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So here's the interesting paradoxes that I actually discovered in dealing with this individual, because understanding the paradigm that a you know, supposed local leader or somebody that's responsible for getting the log cabin Republican recognized and validated within the local Republican counties and so forth, because they have this little army of leaders that are out trying to penetrate the Republicans. And so what they do is they become Republicans, and then it comes out, oh, I'm a log cabin Republican. And the next thing you know, they want to start adapting to their agenda. And so it comes down to this. And I let me back out of the log cabin Republican, and I'll give you the facade of, let's just say, the woman Republicans. If we all are in a big tent, and the foundation of that tent is our platform, and our platform basically is a platform on individual liberty and individual sovereignty, that all people should have liberty and all people should have equal opportunity, so forth and so on, then what that means is, if you happen to be a woman's leader in the Republican Party and a part of the subfaction of the women's Republicans for the local area, then if you don't have an agenda, which, you know, 9 times out of 10, there's always an agenda for these organizations. And some of those agendas end up creating policies. And so that's why some states have laws and rules that require one and one, both genders. If you have a chair, the vice chair has to be a female. If the chair is a female, then the vice chair has to be a male. And so you have to have one of each genders. Well, what that does not promote individual liberty, because what that does is it creates a quota. Whether that quota is for a gender, whether that quota is for a ethnicity, race, or what have you, it becomes a quota. And so what that does is it ties the hands of an organization to say, well, shoot, you're really the most qualified person. You're the best leader we've got, but we can't use you because we've got to have a female there. Or even in a business, when businesses are faced with quotas, they can't hire the best qualified candidate because the federal government has these unconstitutional quotas that say you have to have a certain percentage of people, and you're discriminating if you can't start hiring people. And that, 9 times out of 10, is tyranny. That is bogus tyranny. The Constitution doesn't allow that. When people say, oh, well, it's a violation of the Civil Rights Act. Remember, the Civil Rights Act only applies to the federal government. Unless it's an amendment, and then it then falls underneath the Constitution as actual civil rights. Now, not that I'm a opponent for civil rights, but let's get the cart in, back behind the horse, because we've put the cart in front of the horse with the Civil Rights Act. It is not an amendment. So the Civil Rights Act is only applicable within the jurisdiction that the federal government has. Now, if states want to have their own civil rights acts, then they can do that. States have the full power and privilege of doing anything and everything that they haven't delegated to the federal government. And civil rights is one of those things. I don't want to see things going backwards. I would much rather see a well-defined amendment, but I honestly don't think, if you think of Madison's perspective, they do not get into legislating. Madison was completely against the Bill of Rights because it was an enumerated constitution. There was nothing in the Constitution that granted and or delegated to the federal government the authority over religion. So you didn't need the First Amendment to protect you from these types of things. However, because there were all sorts of dubious, nefarious people in the federal government that said, hey, we're going to get away with, and they've been getting away with doing things as they've tried to interpret the Constitution and telling, bamboozling people and hoodwinking them that this is what this means. Then what ends up happening is that they actually go well outside those boundaries. So I understand Madison's argument that we really didn't need a Bill of Rights, but I also understand Mason, and I love the fact that Mason had the integrity of holding that line, as well as Lansing and others. They wanted this Bill of Rights, and because of the Bill of Rights, that is about the only thing most people know about the Constitution. Well, I have these rights. They don't know what's in the first article. They don't know what's in the second article and the third, fourth, and fifth. And so the point is that these sub-factions are driving this agenda. And so what's really funny, and I'm going to get into the paradoxes, is that log cabin Republicans try to create this paradox, or they end up having these paradoxes and these problems that they inject themselves. So this person was actually having a hard time writing the word God in their social media rebuttal. So they would use a capital G, tack, and capital D instead of, because they knew that that was kind of a blasphemous if you're, you know, want to adhere to the commandments. But they were, here's this person trying to promote homosexuality, but still living within the law of the Ten Commandments. And I'm going, hold it. You know, doesn't that make you a hypocrite? Or at least that's a paradox, right? You're acknowledging God's commandments. And clearly, you know, homosexuality was an abomination. It's a sin. And so the only sanctioned sexual, help me out here, intimacies, relations, or what have you, is sanctioned in a marriage, a man and a woman. That was the biblical thing. And so here's this person working in, you know, this biblical context, but is making this huge leap. And you won't guess what they used as their argument, that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes because God allowed homosexuality in animals. And more specifically, this person quoted penguins. I've heard people quote monkeys. I've heard people quote other species within the animal kingdom, and it doesn't really matter. As a matter of fact, I remember reading about a study, and I'm going to share this with you. I read a study because this was in the 80s as people were starting to argue and using the animal kingdom as this argument. And so this study went into the chimpanzees and different types of species where the males were participating because they had this force of, they had this, what do you want to call this? This natural need to release. And so because they were non-competitive, in other words, they couldn't compete with the stronger males, the faster males, and what have you, they ended up succumbing to other forms of release. And so what they did was they actually isolated these males that were supposedly homosexual with a female, and voila, they were cured. And so you can't tell me that the power to procreate within all species is not the most powerful power. I mean, that's why we have such a problem with morality. I love the Everybody Loves Raymond line where Frank says, God programmed man to, you know, sow his seed where he may, but he programmed women to limit the crop to one farmer. And so that may be funny, but it really hits the tone that there are these designs and drives that we as species, as a human being, and as the creation of God had created man in his image, he gave us commandments. And so I tried to convey this to this person, that those commandments don't apply to animals. God doesn't care what, you know, the animals are here for man to have dominion over them, not to wipe them out or not to destroy them. But the commandments don't apply. We're not supposed to start setting up preachers and teaching the gospel to all animals and that they have to live by the commandments. I mean, that's ludicrous. That's an absurdity. They do not have the cognitive powers and the ability to actually understand those types of things. We do. We were created in his image with his similar cognitive abilities and so forth. That's why we have to live by those things. And the other paradox is that these log cabin Republicans keep on saying, well, you got to, you know, you keep on worrying about what's going on in the bedroom. No. It has nothing to do with the bedroom. I don't know very many people that believe in individual liberty and individual sovereignty and say, you know, I care about what you're doing in your bedroom. I'm not trying to, pass those types of laws. What we're trying to do is make sure we maintain the sanctity of marriage. So whatever you do in your bedroom is fine, but don't start trying to redefine laws, and don't start trying to change our culture into embracing the old age carnalism and self-gratification and elevating sexuality. The enlightenment of America was that based upon discipline and control and restraint, so that we would put other things in a higher order and a higher fashion than our basic instincts. Therefore, I'm up at a heartbreak, and I apologize. I wanted to get into the ratification debate, so we will be right back, and I'll be diving into New York's ratification debates. Thank you very much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So Friday, I was talking about John Jay. And actually, when John Jay inserted or injected or moved and proposed two recommended resolutions that New York vote upon, you got to understand, they were trying to wrap up the debates on the ratification of the Constitution. And so this was July 11th, almost 9 days after the news came that Virginia had ratified, which means that 10 states had ratified and that New York was going to be one of the very last states to ratify. I know that Rhode Island hadn't even considered, and South Carolina hadn't considered in moving the ratifications forward as well. So they were practically one of the last ones to consider the ratification of the Constitution. And as I was talking about on Friday, the one thing that he wanted to do was he basically wanted to make the Constitution be ratified by this convention. That was one of his resolutions. The other one really was speaking more to the lack of understanding of some of the clauses within the Constitution. So his second recommendation in the ratification was that there needed to be basically three types of amendments that would come forth. One that would be explanatory, the other ones that would be so I think somebody inserted the conditionals, but he also wanted to have recommendations in the process. So in other words, they were going to follow Massachusetts suit or what Massachusetts did in their ratification, because all subsequent states basically started providing recommended amendments for Congress to review. So you have to understand that the positioning was already happening, because people knew that without Virginia and without New York, that they were like the 800-pound gorillas in the room, that you had to deal with them. They had to be on board. If not, they could be a real problem. And the new federal government would probably be impotent without the commerce coming out of those two states. So as those resolutions kind of went out, I think I might have mentioned that Smith recommended an amendment to his words in ratifying the Constitution, that they would be, that the Constitution would be ratified upon conditions. In other words, they started taking what I view as these attempts were starting to create last ditch efforts, because what they really wanted to do was they wanted to not ratify the Constitution. And so the Anti-Federalists were digging in with the hopes that the Anti-Federalists in Virginia would be successful as well. And they realized that there was no way New York wasn't going to be a part of the Union. They really needed to be a part of the Union. And everybody understood the necessity of being together. Because if you're divided, then you could be picked out. Britain could start waging war, or France, Spain. There were plenty of real threats in their world at that point in time. And so they knew that collectively they were stronger than the whole. It was kind of like that synergy. They were a much greater force than the sum of their parts. And so there was this desperate attempt by the Federalists or the Anti-Federalists to just start to, instead of saying, well, we just want to reject this, now we want to accept it with conditions. And one of those conditions, I believe, was that he wanted to affix, well, so there was one condition by Lansing that he wanted to affix a Bill of Rights, or basically make that a condition that the Bill of Rights would be added to the Constitution within a certain time. And then they went into these debates on, they kind of went down this rat hole and said, let's start debating amendments. As that motion was carried, then they literally started going down to these different amendments proposed in the plan of the ratification, and they started to segregate them based upon the conditions and so forth. There was one that was a condition that New York could secede from the Union if a convention had not been called in 4 years to basically inject all of these other amendments, or allow them to inject these amendments. You got to understand that this assertion that they could secede from the Union is a felonious assertion. Any party in a contract can secede from that contract if the contract is violated. If the federal government, which they have been, they've been violating the contract left and right, all the states can secede. However, it is best for the states to work through these problems and get that federal government back into the framework it's supposed to. We have an obligation to fixing this. We We cannot allow ourselves to, you know, take the easy path of divorce, because that is just the way to that ruins societies and marriages, and it ruins societies politically as well. We cannot allow the divorce to move forward. Like California has been violating the Constitution, the New York, or I should say, and the federal government. And this CalExit is literally a bunch of juveniles thinking that they can just, because they can't get their way anymore, because they're not going to have the progressive national government supporting their progressive agenda, then they want to leave. That is not constitutional grounds for leaving, nor is that a rational thing that a party who has had a commitment and an affinity for the union should be doing. What we should be doing is actually getting the federal, because our problems is that the federal government is not complying to the Constitution. Nobody will argue with that. So Jones moved, Mr. Jones, in the convention, the ratification debates, I should say, he moved on the condition in the form of the ratification should be obliterated and that the words "in full confidence" should be submitted, and that was carried. So you could see that the tone was going back and forth, and some people were already changing their positions. So the whole being gone through and the amendments and the questions and whether the committees all agreed, it just moved forward to where they actually came to the boiling plate of going, well, what are we going to do? And so there was still this demand for the Bill of Rights, and that was the real lingering issue of, were we going to get a Bill of Rights from this general government? Now, mind you, that the Continental Congress did not have a Bill of Rights. Mind you, none of the states practically had a Bill of Rights. And so I know this because this is what Madison started saying as he was arguing against the Bill of Rights. And as he started injecting the Bill of Rights, because he was the guy that made the Bill of Rights happen. He not only made the Constitutional Convention happen, he made sure that the Bill of Rights happened, because he knew that if they did not inject the Bill of Rights, that the states would end up leaving the Union and that it would fail as well. And so this huge vote was passed that they would basically vote in favor for the ratification. And I think I covered this in a summary on Friday. But the interesting thing was that there were so many people that had changed their votes. There were 11 delegates that changed their mind in light of the practical reality that the Constitution had been ratified by 10 other states. And that there were a few that were basically rejecting. And Yates and Lansing, the two delegates from the Constitutional Convention with Hamilton, still abstained, or actually voted no against the ratification and rejected the Constitution. There was 8 anti-federalists that abstained from voting and didn't get their votes counted. But the real thing was that New York, had they just moved through the debates of the Constitution quickly, and had they not waited for the Virginia ratification debate to come in, or I should say the news that Virginia had ratified the Constitution, then what would have happened was, had they done their voting and they said, okay, we've read through this real quick and so forth, let's vote on it. Are we going to pass this or not? They would have rejected it, bottom line, because they literally had that many anti-federalists baked into the delegates for the New York Convention. And I think that the reason why Hamilton, one, he couldn't speak to all of these things in great detail like Madison, Nichols, Randolph, and so forth, because he just wasn't Mason was there. Most of these guys were not there. And so that's why they were really looking for clarification and so forth. And bottom line, Hamilton ended up getting what he wanted, and then he started perverting the Constitution. And I'll get into that tomorrow. I know that we're going to be going for those who are on the terrestrial systems, and I will get into the details of what we're doing tomorrow right after this. And there we go. So those people are now off air, and what we're going to do tomorrow is I'm going to go into the ratification debates of Hamilton, or some of the things that Hamilton said. The issue that I have is that these debates, they're very long-winded because Hamilton was a hyperbole type of speaker. He just would go into these academic rants. It's kind of difficult. So I'm going to try to cherry pick some of these, and then I'm going to start contrasting these to what Madison, Nichols, and Randolph did. And I'm going to give you a good flavor of the contrast between what Hamilton and Madison did. And so we'll be back tomorrow, same time. God bless, and I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend.